Josh.
Yeah, that's right. The Wiggle Room. Josh Wiggler, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, hanging in there, hanging in there. It was a lot of stuff to get ready for this week's episode of the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, as you like to say, give up too much inside Schmergen brawl over here. But you texted me something very graphic in terms of your preparation process for this podcast this week.
Well, I made a metaphor, like a real Ryan Ulrich over here, that describing what the process of preparing the wand off is like.
Care to elaborate? Do you want to let the listeners know what your metaphor was? Or do you want to leave it up to the imagination, the grisly details?
No, well, you were more upset about it than I was, I think.
It's just, you know, a trigger warning would have been nice. I was just like, I didn't ask for your metaphor. I didn't need it.
Yeah, I said that getting the wand off ready is like passing a stone, not like tossing a rock.
Yeah, unfortunate.
Rob, and then you're having a problem, call me.
Yes, yeah. And then you said you have too much Dr. Mike on your mind. This is the side effect of having so much Dr. Z in our lives that now we're passing metaphors like stones.
If you're still talking like Dr. Mike after 4 hours, consult me.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Yeah. So anyway, so that's something to look forward to in the second half of this podcast this week.
Yeah. yes, a lot of stuff going on there, but we're not gonna talk about that. Just trust me.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what's more painful, passing a stone or losing Bradley Kleige from Survivor Ghost Island this early.
Yep. He was a real star of the pre-merge and
the kidney stone of Survivor Ghost Island, Bradley Kleige.
He really was so much of the pre-merge drama, a really great figure in this season. I mean, I think that we could make the comparisons to other people who really dominated the pre-merge and ended up being, you know, whether they were taken out in the case of like a Colton, had a medical evacuation, but he was a great force here in these first 7 episodes of the show.
You know, Boston Rob-esque, right? Like Boston Rob 1.0. That's about as long as his run goes. He makes it seven votes in. That's what Bradley did. So mission accomplished, Bradley. You played the Boston Rob game. You just played the wrong one.
Yes. I mean, you should be specific. Like when you find the magic lamp and you wish on it and say, I wish I could play like Boston Rob. You know, you want the Boston Rob that ultimately wins on the fourth time.
So is this a spoiler for Survivor winners that Kim Spradlin is going to go out seventh that season?
No.
You don't think there's any sort of time travel wonkiness? You know that tends to happen in the Survivor universe.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right, Josh. So what should we talk about first here with the departure of Bradley? I mean, what does this cast a pale over the season? Are you loving where we're at?
No, you know, the one thing that I do love about it is it feels like every episode has been an event, you know, for the most part. And really, I think, you know, for me, at least 100%, you know, take your issues with it here and there in terms of whether or not you found every single person in the pre-merge to be a really compelling character and somebody who could have gone really far. But one of the things that I do when I leave the preseason and I know who the first one out is, I wonder a lot about, like, who is going to join that first person at Ponderosa? Who else is going to be there? So like when it was 35, who's coming after Katrina for this season? Who's coming after Gonzalez? And I probably in the intervening months like played that out you know, hundreds of different ways in my head. And the people who have gone out in the pre-merge of Ghost Island, I look at all of those people and I can imagine the scenario where those are like the final people left in the game. Mm-hmm. People who fought really, really hard and people who I really would not have expected for the most part to land where they did. So in that regard, Survivor has been very surprising this season. It's been pretty brutal, but not brutal in like the game changers way where you're dying because your favorites are all just getting destroyed in horrible, horrible horrible, gruesome fashion, people here are getting eliminated in really compelling episodes, brutal episodes at times, but people who are playing really, really hard, and you don't have all of that history with them, so it's not quite as emotional as a returning player season. All of that being said, I was so surprised, much like you, about the outcome of this episode. Definitely thought it was just going to be a pretty straightforward Libby elimination, and we were just being given, you know, something else to look at while the real thing was happening and was too obvious, so they couldn't just like tell that story straightforwardly. And lo and behold, Bradley goes. So I'm thrilled with the surprise. I'm so disappointed in the outcome. Even as a big Libby supporter, I would have traded Libby for Bradley here every day of the week. Wanted to see more Bradley on my television, but now he just becomes iconic pre-emerge antagonist. And what are you going to do? You gotta take your wins where you can.
Yeah. All right. Well, Josh, every time somebody goes out of the game, that we do like to take a look back at what they say. Then we don't always do it on the podcast. We do it before the podcast. And sometimes there's something there and something there's not. But we like to take a look back at your conversations with people from the pre-merge. And Shannon Gates has been doing a really great job of marking some interesting things that people said in the pre-merge, in their conversations with you, that upon further reflection are interesting when they come out of the game. And so you spoke with Bradley back on the beach in Fiji, and I have a couple of clips from that conversation, of course, that you can feel free to speak freely about Bradley here in the Wiggle Room, of course, Josh.
Because, of course, yes.
We know that Bradley is not a fan of this particular podcast.
Cool. So you would classify yourself as a super fan?
Absolutely,
of the show.
Yeah. I'll admit to you, I don't read or what. Do you have a podcast? I don't know.
I'm on RHAP.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, because Steven and Rob always talk about you, and that's about as
that's all right.
Familiar with you as I
that's
am.
That's okay. Well,
I know who you are.
Well, now I will feel unrestrained and just shit talking you when you're terrible out there.
Yeah.
Now. That is so much funnier now, knowing Bradley from the show.
I know. Man, so I've told this story to a few people. I don't know that I've told it on the podcast, but I feel like I'm, you know, I love my job. I really love what I do in so many regards, but specifically in the Survivor realm. I really enjoy going out there and getting to sort of like check the pulse of who these people are, getting to know who all these players are going, who they are going into the game, and then having that as like a flag that you can plant now and something that you can come back and look at later once we see how the game plays out, a time capsule, if you will. And part of that job requires that you're, you know, a calm presence, that you're not giving anything away, that you are, you know, really stone-faced in the face of all of these different personalities that you're going to talk to, that you're really giving everybody a chance to tell their story. At least that's how I view my role there. Bradley Clagge is the first son of a bitch who ever really triggered me in one of these interviews.
Dominic called him too.
You know, I was so annoyed. I was like, oh, you are nagging me so hard right now. Oh, you know who I am. Oh, don't you dare. I was very, very, very easy to get under my skin. The ego is the quickest way to take Wiggler down.
Do you think he was playing you? Do you feel like that he did listen to the Wiggle Room? He did know who you were and then was acting like he didn't know you?
No, I'm sure he'd like listen to it and then turn it off once. Like, I bet that's probably how it went. Or, you know, I don't know. He knew who I was. He knew who I was. He definitely did. He definitely did. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm getting so triggered all over again. It really annoyed the shit out of me. And he did some negging to Dalton Ross as well. I don't know the full story there, but the next day was the second day of press, and like Gordon Holmes like sat him down. And he's like, he like gave him a talking to of like, relax, man. Like, you're still just like, you know, pre-Survivor guy. Like, you're talking to some people who you don't want to just like be an asshole to. And Brad was like, yeah, maybe I played it a little hard. So yeah. Yeah. It was great. But the thing that I felt right away, the thing that I felt right away with that was, man, this guy's an asshole and he is going to be spectacular on TV. So mission accomplished there for sure.
Yeah.
What an asshole. Such an asshole.
That Bradley mentions that he hears about you with me and Steven, but he brought Steven up again later in the conversation. And I want to get the context of this.
With that said, like, I'm not going to take a fan longer than I should because they're lethal. They're dangerous. But yeah, if I could find someone that really knows the game that I could work with for a while, then I think that would only help my game because I'm not so, you know, I'm not Steven Fishback. Yeah. You know, I,
what he says, I'm not Steven Fishback. You say, yeah, you say that there's like acknowledgement. You know what he's talking about?
I think it's just like a verbal tick of mine where I'll just like, oh, yeah, see the death forever. You know, you could be telling me complete nonsense. I'll probably just say, yeah, and like nod my head and make eye contact like I'm paying attention. I do that on, you know, like 50% of the time on the podcast.
No. I'll go back. I'll check the record on that.
It's like 10% of the time. But oh, it is actually 10%. Fishback. Yeah, it's a good question. Is it like he's not Steven Fishback? Like, I know I'm not as great as the legendary Steven Fishback. Like the knowing is know it all. Or, yeah, is he saying like, I'm not Steven Fishback. I'm not an idiot. You know, hard to say.
But of all the reasons to say I'm not Steven Fishback, that I don't think that Steven, one of his flaws is that he took a fan too far into the game.
I mean, I think JT Thomas is a fan favorite.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe he just forgot a word in his recollection of JT.
Okay, but here's the really pertinent part as it pertains to the events of this week. You asked him about what would happen if he was blindsided in the game.
Now, what happens if, you know, it's not going to happen because, as you said, you're going to win this Absolutely. Thing. But let's say you get blindsided and it's like a beautifully executed blindside that you would love if you were watching it on TV.
Yeah.
Does game respect game or are you pissed off at something like that, do you think?
Well, both. I mean, I'm obviously going to be pissed off, but like, I think I'll sit there and be like, wow. Like, I think it'll be a simultaneous emotion. It won't even be like, you know, I'm pissed off and then like, you know, when I start drinking back at Ponderosa, I'll be like, yeah, that was good. Whatever, I'm out. Like, let's go sit on the beach. I don't think it's going to be that. I think it'll just be like, damn, they fucking got me. And I'll be mad for a long time. But at the same time, like, you know, I told Jeff yesterday, I was like, as such a huge fan of the show, all I want to do is make this season as good as possible. And so if that means me making it to the end, like, fucking great, because that's how I want it to turn out. But like, if it means I go down in like brilliant flaming fashion and it just like it all falls apart, then I'm okay with that too. Like, I just want to play 100% and see where that takes me.
I love that answer. Yeah. I'm good with that.
Yeah. And I have to say, I think he mostly lived up to his word.
I think so too. And that's the thing is like every moment that we got with Bradley on the show was just, it was hysterical. You know, he was, I don't think that he ended up being portrayed the way that he expected. Like, I think that he, you know, going out there really did believe he was going to be like this super fan mastermind who is just going to destroy people. And sure, he crushed a few people's dreams along the way. But he is one of the people who has their dreams crushed much earlier than they would have liked. And that being said, he still was just gold. He's just this golden jerk. And it's been a long time since we've had somebody who is just like so pure in that regard, you know, just like so purely nasty, but wonderful at the same time. So, yeah, he goes out seventh, but I think he made the season really, really compelling. I think he made it a lot of fun.
Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, didn't he even say just a second ago that like, if I get voted out, I'll probably be like, wow. Yeah,
and he literally did say,
wow. I mean, he said, wow. He called his shot. Wow.
And I just that I know that I didn't pull the clip, but when I watched the show with the closed captioning on that, he's subtitled. And then there was also the closed captions of the subtitle, which I feel like is redundant. I feel like that they don't need to do that.
They don't need to do that. They don't need to do that. Yeah. But no, so great. So great. Again, and that's why I'm worried about Kim Spradlin on her second time out, because clearly this guy can see a little bit into the future. He just doesn't know exactly what he's looking at.
Yes. Now, I wish I could see into the future, because it was but 2 weeks ago when you were on your contract mandated week off from the Wiggle Room.
Indeed.
I spoke with Jessica Leese, and Jessica and I had a draft, and we were drafting who would get picked off between now the time of the second swap and the merge. We had no idea what was going to happen. And so the idea was that we...
Were there any stakes to that bet?
I'll get to that.
Okay.
Of course, okay. You always... You need stakes. Stakes are great.
Any reward is nice, but steak is great.
Yeah, you need steak. Yeah. Sometimes not as great. But yeah. We had a best ball draft where not Dave Ball, not Alan Ball, best ball draft. And so that in week one, that a person from my team went home, which was James, and things were looking really, really great. I took James in the fourth round. There were only three people that could have gone home this week for Jessica Lease to beat me in the post second swap draft. And I believe that those people were her first round pick, which was Angela, her second round pick, which I believe was Purple Chelsea, or her third round pick, which was Bradley.
Wow. So Jessica won.
Jessica did win the bet. So
it's been a big season for Jessica's on RHAP. This has been huge.
Season of Jessica. So with that, I am a man of my word, and I will complete my part of the completely humiliating bet that we made on the podcast.
Yeah, this is the 10% where I'm choosing not to listen to you on the podcast because. I don't need to know what you're about to say or what you're implying because I know in my heart and in my bones and I'm good. I'm all right.
So for people, if you were familiar with the stakes of that bet that I will beginning with the Survivor week, starting with this week's episode, that I will comply with my terms of losing this bet from 1 week of Survivor until the next week's Survivor episode. So that don't at me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Josh.
Great.
So
good.
Right. We have lost Bradley from the game. He's gone. We will move on. And we have so much going on in the merge that we now shift gears and turn to the story at the merge. We don't always have a big story at the merge in terms of personalities. Usually the story at the merge, will this tribe have numbers against this tribe, or, you know, everybody is against the healers, what's going to happen? But here we have this big story that we've been setting up for the first 7 hours of the show of Dominic versus Chris coming into the Survivor merge. Do you want to frame that at all as we get into this big looming showdown?
Like, do you want me to like set them up for something they didn't do? You know, like do you want me to like pin something on them?
Them on the wall? Like,
no. You want me to turn them into canvas people?
Yes. No, that's a little bit. But can you give us your context of this big showdown that's coming?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's been so much that's been made of this rivalry all season long that you got to wonder, you know, what form is this going to take? Is this going to be some sort of rivalry that endures for a very long time? Or are we getting into like the explosive moment where it comes to a head and one of these guys is taken out? It's hard to say, like, is this sort of, and if that is the case, does this become some sort of like Josh and Jeremy deal from San Juan del Sur, which I think has been like a really easy recent point of comparison for something like this? I'm excited. I'm excited to see it all come to a head. As for like, do I have a prediction of how it's going to go? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Dominic has like 100 different, you know, idols and advantages in his bag versus Chris, who has none and has also never been to tribal council. So I can't say I like Chris's shot in this war.
Yeah. Well, could you give me the scenario where Chris ends up winning this showdown? Because, you know, a lot of times it's, you know, even though that Chris is the taller guy, I do feel like this is a little bit of like a David versus Goliath type setup, because as you mentioned, Dominic has all of these idols. He kind of has the numbers also. He seems like he's a better player. Is there a scenario where you could see that Chris gets the jump on Dominic?
Well, I think one of the stories behind Dominic and Chris, it's been like the difference between their ability to make relationships. You know, Dominic has been shown to have a few different key relationships in the game, whether it's that foursome that he and Wendell and Laurel and Donathan crafted together several episodes back, or his friendship specifically with Wendell, or the fact that Morgan liked him so much that after 9 days, he was the guy that was gifted the legacy advantage. It seems that for everything else, Dominic's social game seems really, really strong. So Chris Noble not only is the guy who doesn't have an advantage to his name versus Dominic, who has, you know, two advantages, plus he still has this fake idol that maybe Chris believes in. With Chris, he's got nothing like that, and his social game has been highlighted as bad. You know, we've had so many scenes of Chris being kind of a buffoon and getting a little bit of, you know, not like quite the Dodo edit maybe one expected from Chris, but, you know, basically a badass. You know what I mean? Like shades of basically a badass. So if the answer to dismantling everything that Dominic has going for him is a strong social game, then I don't know that Chris has that. He had one really great moment with Donathan, and that would be the thing that I'd be monitoring in this episode. Is there like payoff to that? Like if you start to see these two people acting a little bit closer together, maybe there's some sort of turn of tide that could happen there.
Dominic eclipsed that with Donathan this past episode.
Right. Yeah. So the writing on the wall is not very good for Chris Noble, I don't think. I would be worried about the Noble one coming into this episode.
Now, I feel like that the one saving grace that he might have is that I think that he has been pretty much, if you were going to rank the players in terms of odds to win individual immunity this week, I think he would be the number one pick in that draft, just as he was the number one pick in the who's most likely to get voted off after the second swap draft. Is that fair to say?
What were the stakes of that bet again? I don't remember.
Do you know or you don't know? You being coy?
No, I'm just not sure. I don't know if I'm clear on what was that stake. We don't have to get into it.
Yeah.
So you think Chris could be, I mean, that would be the real upset. You know, and that actually is a really great point of one of the things that has been highlighted about Chris is that he's been spectacular in the physical aspect of the challenges. So if this is a very physical challenge, he is somebody who could really rock it. And that would be, you know, that would be a tipping point in this war. But you got to imagine that no matter what, like Dominic's playing one of these things on himself this week, right? Like if we leave this episode and Dominic hasn't played either the legacy advantage or his actual idol on himself, I'm going to be very stunned. I will be astounded by the cojones, the big kahunas, as they've been referred to in the past,
right,
on this man.
So here is my pitch for Chris sticking around for just a little bit here in the post-merge, that if he wins the first immunity or two, where if he can somehow be immune for the first couple of votes here, is it possible that the tide could shift potentially, whether it's against Dominic or in a different direction? Where do you think that he could buy himself some time and then have some cover? Or do you feel like that there's no chance Dominic ever stops until Chris Noble's out of the game?
No, I think that there could be something there. And just to even follow that line down a little bit further in kind of thinking through, like, what are the, you know, what can Chris do against Dominic? Like, how does Chris win out over Dominic? And we've kind of been talking about that as if it's all about Chris's agency. But it could be so much more about everybody else's agency and everybody else looking at the optics of the situation and sizing up, who do I want around more? Do I want Chris in the game or do I want Dominic in the game? Do I want Chris to have power or do I want Dominic to have power? And the argument for giving Chris power is this man to, you know, the ability to inflate his ego and to just, you know, let this guy think that he truly is like the greatest human being to have ever walked the earth. Isn't that a fantastic person to take along for the ride here versus somebody who, you know, at least has been accused of having an idol, has admitted to a few people that he does have an idol? I feel like optically Dominic is such a more dangerous player than Chris that there's so many reasons that you would want to get rid of him right now. He's also just drawn blood against Navidi. You know, he took out Bradley. So one of the stories to watch this week is certainly like the reaction from Kellen and Desiree and those people to what Chris has done, to what Dominic has done here. So, yeah, I think that there's complicated situation. I don't think that there's a very clean answer in terms of who comes out ahead.
Another interesting thing that we have heading into this merge, I think it's sort of like been forgotten about how there are also still five Malolo tribe members that are in the game. Josh, what do you think are the chances that we will see the five Malolo back united and voting together at some point in the merge?
Really strong, don't you think? I feel like that feels like a given to me. I don't see any reason why the five Malolos wouldn't be voting together, at least in this coming vote. And I got to imagine that the, you know, the Navidis that are still standing, you know, the eight of them are looking at the block of Malolo as like, what are we doing with these people? How do these people function into our plans? So, yeah, I think, you know, certainly Libby and Donathan have been together for a very long time now. Laurel and Donathan had a really close relationship. The big X factor, kind of the wild card, would be Michael, who has been really disconnected mm-hmm. from these people for a very long time. So he's kind of an interesting person here. But he's also somebody who it's crazy that I'm not deeply worried about Michael coming into this episode, even though I feel like I should be on paper, right? Like this should be somebody who should be a slam dunk person to just get rid of right now, because he's, you know, proven himself to be really dangerous in terms of the big lie he told about the China idol. You know, there's just so many reasons to get rid of him. He's a Malolo. We're trying to extinguish the Malolos, but I don't feel like the Michael Yerger story has run out of juice yet.
Yeah. To me, it just seems, though, that, yes, the Malolos could vote with Dominic and Wendell and vote out Chris for that easy first vote of the merge and last 3 days longer. But to me, it seems kind of short-sighted, because if I'm one of those five Malolo, I kind of feel like I would rather put our five, if we're, you know, moving as a five, on the weaker side of Naviti, and I feel like that would be the Chris and Seabass and Angela side.
Right. And I think, and certainly, you know, there could be like that Jenna Sebastian connection there. So who really knows what that's all about?
Because then there's, you know, five of us and there's three of them.
Right. And these people saved Angela once upon a time. That's a good point. And that, I think, speaks to what we were just talking about, of like the agency being less about like Chris's ability to orchestrate something and more like the Malolo five being like, yeah, we should be Team Chris over Team Dominic. This is a crew that we can work with right now, and a group that we would be able to get the upper hand on eventually.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, we're looking at it sort of like Naviti versus Malolo. And yes, they were together for the first 6 days. But now if it's day 18, day 19, you have people like, you know, Laurel and Wendell have been together for now, what, like 12 days. And Donathan right. and Dominic and Libby have been together for 12 days. And so now that they might look at their people that they were with post swap as closer allies than the people from their original tribal lines. And we did see Dominic look at things that way in this episode. He would have rather stayed with people that he had been with for the last 12 days, as opposed to somebody he was with for the first 6 days of the game.
Yeah. I mean, it's what the great James Lim said, right? Like, I didn't pick my tribe. I didn't pick to be a Malolo. You didn't pick to be a Navidi. We're all just people playing Survivor.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, it won't be as simple as Dominic's people versus Chris's people, or Navidi versus Malolo. It could just be a hodgepodge of all these people who've been in the melting pot together for the last several days, figuring out what kind of stew they want to be.
Yeah. Interesting. Josh, now we also had the influx of idols into the game this week. We saw Michael, that he got Princeska's stick. We also,
I'm such a fan of Michael Yerger. I could not be happier to be picked by a man who's actually a boy.
We also saw the return of Eric Reichenbach's necklace. Wendell got that one.
Yeah, that's going to be really hard to sneak into tribal council, as so many other people have noted.
Yes.
That's a cumbersome idol, much like the Survivor China idol. So that's difficult.
Yes.
But, you know, it's got all like the feathers and the beads and the bells and the whistles on it. Can Wendell take that stuff off and like craft mini fake idols out of it?
I don't know. Can he put it back together? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if like, can you like desecrate one of these artifacts? Because like maybe that's not great. Like maybe there's rules against vandalizing property.
No, this is the move that Wendell needs to win individual immunity this season and then wear the idol underneath the current immunity necklace.
Like, that's smart. Yeah.
If he's wearing, like, is he wearing two necklaces?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. You got to hope that they're of a similar shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
No one will notice.
That's called the Mr. T when you wear so many necklaces. People can't count how many you have.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And then we also saw Kellen get the idol or the extra vote that was originally from Game Changer. So a lot of stuff came into this episode. Three idol/advantages inserted into the game. Josh, I had a question from the feedback show with Aubrey that I said, you know what? This is a question for Aubrey, but I'm going to save it for Josh Wiggler because it feels like a question that might be more up his alley, if you don't mind.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Let's do it.
This is a question for you, for Aubrey. This is from Lou.
Hi, Rob and Aubrey. This is Lou, and I have a very serious question regarding the effing stick. It was mentioned on the show that the stick has matured and grown in power, which leads to the obvious question. Is the stick Groot? Has this been some long plot to get us into the MCU right before Infinity War? We've already heard Shyam refer to Colby as Captain America on Survivor All-Stars.
Wow.
Is the fifth Infinity Stone on Ghost Island? Is Jeff Probst Thanos? Please help me through this. Love to hear your thoughts.
Bye. Oh, my God. I am Groot! Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. I did watch all of those scenes of like, this has been on Ghost Island for 10 years and it has matured into a real immunity idol. And I was just sitting there wondering, I wonder what my shame is going to look like in 10 years when it has been out there on Ghost Island for a full decade. Like, what will that look like?
I mean, is Ghost Island like the Genesis planet where then if like, you send the dead body of Spock there, then
yeah, you gotta send like Superman there and Superman will come back. You don't even need the mother box. Yeah, wow. Sorry to spoil Justice League for everybody because nobody saw it. Yeah, no, it's great. Yeah, it's the stick Groot. I mean, no, but yes. Also, yes.
Wow. So, should Ghost Island be Redemption Island? Should you go there and then if you get voted out on Ghost Island, then you can come back into the game?
Yeah. yeah, that's you come back 10 years later. You get to play again. Michael probably, he's a young guy. He told me in the preseason he likes movies. He's like an Aliens versus Predator guy. I bet Michael has seen Guardians of the Galaxy. He's got like a Star-Lord-esque quality to him. So I don't know who the Rocket Raccoon is out there, but the Ghost Guardians of the Galaxy or the Guardians of Ghost Island are starting to form.
Yes.
You just need to cast the rest of it.
Yes. I mean, I think you are really making people wondering if there's going to be a Survivor MCU coming at some point.
Oh, man, we could do that. We could do that in a future Wiggle Room. I believe Avengers Infinity War coming out April 27th ish, somewhere around there. So we could talk.
Okay.
We could make some plans.
All right. I'll ask my kids who would win. They're very into it. They're very into it. They're very into Groot also.
They like Groot. They like Groot.
So
is Dominic afraid? Is Dominic afraid of all of this talk that
my
he's getting into a fight with Chris? No, your son, Dommy, not Dommy, actual Dominic.
Yes. Is he afraid of Chris?
Yeah.
I don't think he knows anything about Chris Noble.
Should we be expecting Chris Noble to someday join the Marvel Cinematic Universe because every other male actor in the Marvel Cinematic Universe is named Chris?
Yes. Yes, I think that that's very possible.
I mean, he's got a Star-Lord quality to him as well. He's very kind of Thor-esque. He thinks of himself as a god.
If he grew his hair out, sure, I can see that.
Yeah. Well, Thor's got the short hair now. I guess somebody didn't see Ragnarok.
Yeah, okay. My bad. I got a lot of catch up to do. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Josh, anything else you want to touch on before we turn to the more controversial parts of the Wiggle Room?
No, let's pass the stone.
Yeah, because spoiler alert, we got a lot to get to still.
Yes, here on so we podcast. Got some rocks to toss. So
yeah. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor here in the Wiggle Room. And those are our friends over at CanvasPeople.com. Canvas People, that you've heard us talk about them on the podcast. What are you waiting for to give Canvas People a try? They can get you an 11 by 14 canvas photo. You just pay the shipping. It's a $69.99 value. All you need to do is just text the word RHAP, because that's not a word. Or text the acronym RHAP to 99000. They will send you an offer code and then you can punch that in and you can be framing people. Just like, who did we say was framing people? You could frame the 13 Survivor Merge players just like that. Put up a beautiful work of art on your wall, whether it's Groot, Prince Siska, Chris Noble, anything. Yeah. Chris Noble or Michael Yerger. There are many very handsome shots available for framing or for turning into a Canvas People with this offer code, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to love what you get from Canvas People. Couldn't be easier to do. Just upload your photo from your phone or your camera. They've got this great offer to get you that 11 by 14 Canvas People print for free. It's a $69.99 value. All you do is pay the shipping and handling. So go ahead and text RHAP to 99000. This is a special offer for our listeners. Text RHAP to 99000. Okay. Josh, so that's the offer code for all of this. Did you write down those numbers?
Is this the part where I have to like filibuster for a little while you surprise me with the Wandoff theme song?
No. Why do you say that?
Oh, well, just because there's sort of this, now I'm trying to do the filibustering so you get, there it goes.
You want to know right now, before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here, it would make me so happy for the rest of my life, if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wanda, it's the Wanda forever if you need to. You can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so for the rest of your life. If you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice, you want to know right now, before you go any further, if the wand off, it'll be here forever.
Yes!
Wanda?
I am Wanda!
Oh, yeah. So
and then at the end of the podcast, we are Wanda.
Yes, like Negan?
Yes, kind of like Negan. Oh my God, you don't want to see Wanda with Lucille.
Yeah.
Microphone wrapped in barbed wire.
All right. Well, Josh, we've got so much to get to here in this week's Wandoff. At recording time, there are 43 tracks that are uploaded to the Wiggle Room Wandoff playlist for episode number 7 of Survivor Ghost Island.
This podcast, we're recording 40-ish minutes late because of how many Wandoffs came into existence. You've had a day, Rob Sesternino.
All right, Josh, last week, the Wiggle Room listeners voted once again. The great Tabulator, who was on the RHAP B&B this past week, shout out to the Tabulator. That,
what's up, Kurt?
He went through and gave us the results. It was a close top three. Plus top three here.
Okay.
Number three last week, it was the return of Jenny and Colin with Bradley's Missing You.
I really enjoyed that. I thought anytime you can do Bradley impersonations, which I'm sure we'll hear a lot of this week, I'm going to be tickled. I'm going to be very happy.
All right. Number two last week, it was another duo. Will and Shannon were in second place with 25.4% of the vote with Yanuya Matata.
That was good too. That was really great.
And number one this week, He's gone back to back.
Wow.
Winning the Wandoff. Here is Wandoff newcomer Phil T with Ask Malolo.
Yeah, you, yeah, you know what it is. Bad Malolo, no Malolo, sad Malolo. Yeah, you, yeah, you know what it is. It's Chris Noble, this Chris Noble, that's Chris Noble. I'm Chris Noble. Yeah, you, yeah.
When you're hot,
wow.
You're hot.
Wow, Phil, those songs are great. Those songs dude, are great, Phil. Those songs are great.
Great.
Wow, unbelievable. DJ LaBelle Klein, watch out for your Wombats hat. Phil's coming for it.
Yeah. You know, that's what happens with the Wandoff. It's like somebody gets like a taste of a Wandoff victory, and then it's like then they're like firing on all cylinders back week after week after week.
Yeah. Do you think that DJ LaBelle Klein and Phil T have like a secret rivalry, much like Dominic versus Chris? Is like there's something like brewing beneath the surface?
No, I don't think so.
No, just my fanfic.
Yeah.
I've been writing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think.
Well, congratulations to Phil T, double Wombat hat winner. What an enviable.
Send him two hats
position. You got to send him. You got. I mean, Phil T, you can choose to
two hats.
Whatever. Rub. Phil T, whatever you want to do with your second hat, it is. it is up to you. You can gift it to somebody else. You can take two hats. You can give the hat to a runner
up. We'll be in touch.
You can make the announcement on the Twitters. You can tell us what you want to do with it. Whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
It's fine. With my very, very totally fine, not worth all of this malice and scorn for my podcasting partner hat.
I mean, the hat is still controversial, Josh.
You don't have to play everything that he sends in. You know, you don't have.
Wigglers. Wombat hats.
They're bad hats.
Wigglers. Wombats.
They are real bad hats.
Shut Up Tim is the Quado of Rob Has a Podcast. He is deeply embedded and in many ways essential to the movement. But he is also a mutant that is protruding from our collective belly.
Did you say Watto?
I said Quado, but Watto
wombat
kind of.
Hats. Who wants a wombat hat?
Oh, Watto would get some actual money on these wombat hats. Don't get me started. I got to talk to Watto.
How many hours a week do you think that Shut Up Tim is thinking about what is the next Wiggler's Wombat's hat he's going to make?
Only slightly more time than I spend reciting his name like Arya Stark reciting the names of the people she wants to kill.
All right. Let's bring in the host of Wandoff Countdown. America's Top Wandoffs. The great Casey Kasem.
It's a pleasure to be back here with you in the Wiggle Room.
Great to have you here, Casey. Such a pleasure, as always. What did you think of this past week's episode of Survivor Ghost Island?
I thought that this was another amazing show, and I'm very excited to get to the countdown.
All right, let's get to the countdown. Let's do it.
There were two subjects that the listeners really wanted to talk about this week. But first, let's give you a couple of outliers. We'll start the countdown this week with another newcomer to the Wandoff. His name is Jay Lewis, and he's talking about the winningest tribe going in Survivor Ghost Island.
You knew you're winning every. You knew ya, you knew ya. You knew you was winning every challenge. In the water or on the ground. Jenna, Wendell, Chris, and Seabass. And Laurel gonna make us proud. Wendell's good at tossing rings. That can only mean one thing. Running blind and balancing. Yeah, that can only mean one thing. Win immunity and chicken too.
That
damn. Was a hit jam from the Drake tribe.
Yeah, just Drake.
Drake.
The Drake. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Very funny. Loved it.
All
great
right.
voice.
Then you mentioned it before. There were questions about some advantages and where they might go. Here's the return of JD and Leah.
Yeah. Hoo-wop, hoot-moo-bay, hoo-wop.
Yeah.
Hoot-moo-bay, hoo-wop.
Oh. A couple relics took a trip to Fiji from Micronesia. They've been chilling on Ghost Island for a decade to mature. I know I'm not supposed to care, but there's something I'm hung up on. Tell me
how in the world will
Wendell hide his idol?
That was a little bit of doo-wop from the band Toss the Rockapella.
Rocky Pella. Wow. I'm going to make a bold prediction here that JD and Lee are going to be called robbed goddesses for not making the top five on that one. Just a hunch.
It's a tough week on the wand off.
Carmen Sandiego is a hard song. They did all the a cappella very clearly. You can't find the track and do a cover. And trust me, I've tried. It's not really doable.
43 tracks.
Yeah.
Only five slots.
All right, just putting it out there. It's very rare that I you know, make that stance, but just gonna put it out there, that Ray stance.
So I mentioned that the wand offers were only interested in talking about two things, and those things were sticks and dicks.
Oh, man. Casey, like, that was...
Kicking off the family portion of our show, here's Graham from the Bay.
Wow. Did the stick explode?
Kellen bomb. Boom.
It's like the first death of Groot. Oh, my God.
That was a jam from Mac Morris Sunny Bunny.
That was wonderful. That was great. Always love some
kick off all of our stick themed wand off.
I thought Return of the Mick would have been good, too.
Next up is May from Canada, and she too wants to talk about that effing stick.
When I find my tribe is down in numbers and my end is coming quick, go search for an idol, the effing stick. I may be only 18, but I'm smart enough and not a dick. Just found another idol, the effing stick. Effing stick, effing stick, effing stick, oh, effing stick. Maturing on Ghost Island, the effing stick.
That was a solo performance by Paul McCartney Yates. Not the Beatles. That was too hard to do. Ready for more sticking? Here's Jason Lee with more on the stick.
Ozzy found a piece of wood and gave it a face. He left it in the real idol's hidden place for Princesca to take. Eliza knew it was a dud, played it anyways. She gave it to Probst and all he would say is, this idol's a fake. It took Ozzy hours to make. But don't you know, stick?
You'll be an idol soon.
That was from Merge Overkill.
That's awesome. Oh, my God. Unexpected song choice and super funny because you can see the shot coming and it lands. It hits the target.
OK, Josh, we've heard about the stick and now it's time to hear about Bradley. Here's more from Graham from the Bay.
He thought he was the captain. Austin Rob Orkin Sprout. Christina Chong. Don't forget, he's trying not to be a dick.
Wow.
That was a beautiful number from the band Fucking Styx.
And Bradley actually wants to sail around the world, so it's perfect. Like that's what he wants to do instead of being a lawyer.
When Bradley sails around the world, maybe he'll run into Beck from Australia with a song about Bradley going home. Feeling is gone. One of my favorites from Reed Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, wow. This is so good. Great wand offs. Killing me. I'm trying to keep it together.
While not in time for this year's holiday wand off, Allison, too, had a song about Bradley.
You know Jacob Gonzalez, Morgan and Brendan, Rainbow Bright Steph and the Squiggle James Lim. But do you recall the crankiest preacher of all? Bradley Clicky Craggy has a very tiny mouth.
Uh-huh.
And if you ever heard him, you would even say he spouts lots of insults. All of his other tri mates used to say Brad's a dick. He wishes he was Michael, because that dude found Francisca's stick.
That was a holiday classic from Jean Herbert Autry.
I thought at first that the lyric was Josh Wiggler James Lim, and I was very confused until I realized it was the Squiggle James Lim.
Yeah.
Also, that I don't see it when people say that Bradley has a tiny mouth. I'm not sure where Allison is getting that from, but I want to go on the record and say I don't see it.
Yeah, the percentage decrease that was happening on Reddit was, I have to admit, I found it amusing. It was just funny to look at. It was like an uncanny valley kind of thing, and I feel bad about it, but I don't feel that bad about it.
And on that note, here's Phil T.
They vote the boss off, like way too early, but your boy got a date, and I'm pre-jury. Look at my mouth. My tiny mouth. Oh.
Oh, God.
And bad behavior. Look at my mouth. My tiny mouth. Oh.
What were the ows? Is that like actual sound footage of Bradley saying ow? Really?
I don't see it. Yeah. I don't see it. I don't know what they're talking about.
Maybe you got to look at it at 58.37%. And then and then maybe you'll see it.
Then,
it's not nice. This is not nice. You can't bully the bully.
We've got one more from Becky and Taylor.
My logo has been losing so much because they got bad juju.
Desiree said they're the losing tribe. I guess she never saw Survivor Palau. That was season 10. They burned their flag, reverse the curse. Now Dominic knows what he needs to do.
Vote out Libby! Oh no, wait,
he's a douche guy.
That was another great song from the band Foreigner Occult.
Sometimes I hear these wand offs and the singers go into Wanda voice, and I don't know if it's A, actually Wanda, B, the singer doing a Wanda impression, or C, if I have like some sort of Tyler Durden side of my personality when I like slip into a fugue state and like green light secret recordings of Wanda voice for people, because sometimes it sounds like me. I don't know what's happening anymore. Tyler Weigert Durden.
Now, Tyler, there was a special treat that I have for the listeners this week. Earlier today, Rob tweeted that for some reason there were five times as many show tunes this week.
You didn't as make a, you didn't make a montage. Did you make a montage? Did you make a clip? Like clip show?
We have some clips from the show tunes of the week before we get to the top five. But as a general note, Casey Kasem wants you to know that sending in show tunes is not the best way to get your songs played on the show, because the guy that listens to all the wand-offs does not know a lot of show tunes.
All right, so that is a call for a musical theater nerd to become a volunteer to curate the musical theater submissions for the wand-offs.
On staff already. It's Jason Curtis Rivera.
All right, Jason, we're going to talk.
Randy Newpel.
Yeah, Jason, Randy, we'll discuss. We'll discuss. We'll figure out a system to make this work, because musical theater is where it's at.
But your boy is not well versed in Hamilton jokes. Putting actually, it out there.
I'm not super well versed in Hamilton myself. Just the one collaboration with that.
But here is a little sampling of some of the best of Musical Theater Week.
All right, I'm hype.
And up first, here's an artist that goes by Not Your Wife Nicole.
25,920 minutes. 25,000 moments in the dirt or sand. 25,920 minutes. How do you measure Bradley's game on Survivor Ghost Island?
We did not check the math.
How about dirt? Measure in dirt.
Again, I don't
Bradley
get that.
Bradley hates sand. Sorry, just trying to help.
If you say so, Wanda. Then we got another musical theater entry. This one is from Lindell, talking about what's coming up at the Survivor Merge.
1 week more, 1 week more till there's a merge feast. I will slay the model's guts. I will learn his little secrets. I will kick him in the nuts. 1 week more till I take Chris out. He will drop his mic in blood. It will be beneficiary. Next week it's the merge. Next week we will discover what our Lord, I mean Jeff, has in store. Sierra Dawn. Legacy.
From the production of Les Missy.
Yeah, making you Les Miserables, Rob.
No, it was beautiful.
That is One Day More, which is the song that plays at the end of the first act of Les Mis, and it brings together like all of the different characters who have had these powerful stories throughout Les Mis, and the revolution is on its way, and Javert, the inspector, he's getting really close to finding Jean Valjean, and it's a really powerful music number, and I don't even know how many times I've attempted to do that parody myself, so... it's like three times I've started and stopped.
A great way to close out the first act of Survivor.
Yes, indeed.
And then I've got one other musical theater masterpiece this week. It's from DJ LaBelle Klein.
And he is talking about, you guessed it, one of the advantages this week.
I found the effing stick. I found the effing stick. The idol that Ozzy made and Eliza played before she was voted out. And with the new curse gimmick, it's the first relic everyone would think about. It's the effing stick. I found the effing stick. And though Jason Siska thought it was real, it's not. But it was buried here at Ghost. So it works, and I cannot wait to hand it to Probst. I'm saying to my idol, Michael needs ya. It was a good episode for Micronesia. And we saw Natalie make Eric please her. He was acting reckless when they found the necklace. But it is not the effing stick.
Nope.
I have the effing stick. And now in the merge, we'll see if the Navi-T side with Chris or Dominic. Pick. But no one is expecting that I'd have the effing stick. Sick.
There you go, DJ LaBelle Klein.
Wow, that was wicked.
Wicked. All right. Josh, are you ready now to get into the top five entries in the country?
I was born ready.
Sorry, I just slipped into Christian Bale Batman voice. I don't know why. I'm not sure what happened there.
You're not getting ready to pass that stone yet, are you?
So close. So close. Hurry up.
Like 14 show tunes came in this week. All right. Number one is a newcomer to the Wandoff this season, and he's been on fire. Here is Bob from Columbus, who wants to talk about the downfall of Bradley.
I've been grading my game and I've been doing just fine. Give myself an A plus if I wanted to. Started out with a diss. How did it end up like this?
Just a moan and a bitch.
I'm a bit of a dick. Now you may say the pride comes before a fall. If you look at my face, you'll see my mouth is real small. Now we go to tribal and I blame Dominic. And I once had a tweet about Michael's big move now, which I did remove. Now, CC Dr. Mike,
get me out of here.
Leegee voted out by Chelsea somewhat unexpectedly. Oh my god, wow, that's crazy. Thanks to my douchebaggery, loser lodge is calling me. Tiny mouth is open wide. That was a blind side.
For me, the hardest test out here is like to not be a total dick.
I don't see it. Still, that was from the band The Millers by John Cochran.
Strong debut. Welcome to the Wanda fold, my friend. Very good. Very, very good.
All right.
That was rocking.
Number two this week. This is from another newcomer to the top five. Here is the Nick That Sucks talking about everybody's favorite new advantage.
Hiya, Michael.
Hi, Stick.
You want to go for a ride?
Sure, Stick.
Jump in.
Hopping up the stick with the brand new pick me up like the timber. Pretty Siska, Igor was just wood, but the stick has matured. Deforestation will be your salvation. I'm an effing stick, pretty effing slick. I burn real quick,
it's fantastic. I'm carved in one place. I have an effing face. Imagination, Ozzy's best creation.
Come on, Sticky, let's go.
You tried with James's plank, but your bluff was outflanked. If you need a new prank, I'm your darling, not me.
My low low's looking worse. One first curse, two reverse. Eliza banked on you, got blindsided.
I'm so dead. You can play me, Jeff will say.
This is a hidden immunity idol. The curse is reversed.
Come on, Sticky, let's get tricky.
Yeah.
And the more like Morgan Ricky.
Malolo, Malolo.
Love your Sticky, don't be picky.
Yeah.
I dig this twig like Tails Duck Piggy.
Wanna.
You Stick.
That's from the band Aqua Dump.
I don't know that there's ever been like a wand off that I've seen more clearly as a music video. And I think it's probably just cause like, I can't stop picturing the Stick just driving around like Jason Siska's Stick. I guess it's matured enough to
Barbie driving around
to steal a car. I mean, it's only 10, you know? Surely. How does its feet reach the floor?
Then, Josh, at number three, we've got another first timer in the top five. Here is Jess East with a song about this week's latest cast off. That's Bradley.
I was a dickhead to you. I missed the sand in my toes, replaced with dirt from a Lolo. That was when I was triggered. If you can't find a dickhead, it's you and you're in trouble. I'm trying not to be such a huge dickhead to you, but I'm Bradley and I'm grumpy. I'm a dickhead to you. Now it's over.
Ooh. Wow, Australian Survivor cameo.
Forgot the Kent rule.
Yeah, you really always got to pay attention to the Kent rule.
That was the group, Simple Stick to the Plan.
That's awesome. Great use of revising the lyrics of a song. The title of the song was just wonderful. Wonderfully executed. Really, really great.
At number four this week, it's one of the hottest new artists on the wand-off scene. Here is Corey B, and he is talking about the immunity idol.
Wanda. Wanda.
Well, I was begonged and with no suspense. And where does Darren go? It just made no sense. But when you say the season isn't feeling the same, that there's no new advantages to spice up the game, oh.
Wendell, Wendell finds a tree in some weird mesh tree bark thing. One idol in his hands, a big green package knot. Troy's and Eric's necklace, thank you, strolling. Happy birthday to Nicole. Wendell, Wendell found one, but did anybody else?
Michael is the quick pick, feels sick, finding the fake Stick. Take his baby to the merge. Ozzy's idol has matured.
Michael's sitting at the bottom today. Yeah.
Your girl putting all the cushions away. Yeah. Two more idols now in play. Ha 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 ha. Yo, Kellen risked it for the biscuit. This whiz fizz, it won't go to waste. I can't steal the vote with Sarah's note, cause parchment can't be erased.
So boom, you can't escape her until she plays that paper. So many advantages. Ha 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 ha.
That was a hit single for the Lion or the Gorillas.
Which one are you going to pick? Either way, you're in trouble. Call a specialist. I loved the line about the tree bark mesh thing, because what was that? I mean, it's very strange. I'd never seen something like that. I've been out on that island. I've not seen a thing like that. That's some like weird alien goop going on. Residuals from the rocket ship tree. What has it brought back?
Josh, I've got one final wand off for you to hear this week. It's from one of our old friends from the wand off, and I believe a first time in the top five here in Ghost Island for Alex G talking nice. About that idol that Michael found.
Wendell's got a quick hand. He'll be everyone's friend, but won't tell you his plan. He's got a Reichenbach necklace hanging from his neck. Good luck hiding that thing. Kellen plays a game of chance at Ghost Island. He'll pick a bamboo cover and she gets an extra foe. They're all kinda cool, but if they only knew that Michael Yerger just found the effing stick. He's done, beat, he's done, load one by one. Michael Yerger just found the effing stick. Here starts the fun, stuffed it down his pants. This time it's a full-fledged effing stick. Reverse the curse, reverse the curse. Time for the merch, car face and remarks on the effing stick. He gets far, farther than Eliza.
All right, Josh, so you can pick. You're the artist here. Would you like it to be Foster the Beach People? Foster the Shelter People? Or Foster the People Fan Forum?
No, that's canceled. Well, I mean, if we want it to be relevant, Foster the Hill People in honor of Jessica Johnston. You know? Wasn't she a delight? We got to get her on a wand off because her laugh
she was so
in
much
response
fun.
To some of these wand offs.
I had so much fun on that podcast.
It's the thing. She's one of the most incredibly entertaining people to talk to on the planet.
Yeah, she's great. Send your wand offs every week to Wiggle Room at robhasawebsite.com to vote in this week's wand off. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda. Look at the wiki to see wand offs from the history and check out the wand off YouTube channel on the page here from Jason Curtis Rivera.
All right. Thanks, Casey. Great stuff as always. Strong wand off.
Yes.
You know, every week's a strong wand off, but this, I don't know. You guys killed me today.
Currently, 43 tracks from this week's wand off in their entirety are up on the SoundCloud account that we have for the patrons of Rob is a Podcast at any level. So
that's crazy.
We also share that in the Rob is a Podcast Facebook group. So people, well, if you want to go through and listen to everything from this week, all of the show tunes, they're all there for you guys. And so I hate seeing all of this hard work go to waste.
No, I mean, that's the thing. It's so brutal because we can't do like a 2-hour wand off every week. I say that. And you know that somebody out there is like, yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be very difficult. Lots would have to be sacrificed in order.
We pushed it this week.
We've gone on a long time here on the wand off. But yeah, I think the SoundCloud is the best solution possible to currently, at least, to making sure that everybody's represented. So I'm glad that that exists. I'm glad that the wand off exists. Mm-hmm. It'll be here forever. So
yes. All right. So, Josh, great Wiggle Room today. Lots of fun going through everything from this week's episode.
Are you really going to wear the Wombat's hat as like your social media as an avatar for a week? And like, I'm going to have to look at you wearing that and like just like feel like awful. Like, is that really about to happen?
If you don't want me to do it, then I mean, I guess that I mean, you couldn't have like, use your executive.
Yeah,
order.
I think I'm going to veto it. I don't think that I want to see you wearing a Wombat's hat. Like, you're decisively not a Wombat's hat. hat, I don't think that I want to see you in a wombat hat. I feel like it would be desecrating the sanctity of Wombat Nation.
Well,
so,
this is now very tricky. Absolved. This is like, I'm in a predicament here. Like, I don't want to be told that I'm a bet welcher.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's probably what's going to happen, or you're going to expressly deny the wishes of the creator of the Wombats and also your good friend.
Well, now I'm in a pickle. This is a real life choice now.
It's a real half sour you gotten yourself into.
Yeah.
Better see Dr. Mike.
All right. Well, we'll have to sort this one out as well as we move
first
forward.
One out.
Looking forward to another fun week on the podcast that Hannah Shapiro will be here in the studio with me come Thursday. So looking forward to catching up with her. And then, as I mentioned on the feedback show this past week, Nick Yadanza is scheduled to also be here with me in the studio. So it's another double guest in the studio week for me. So very excited about all that.
That's exciting. That's going to be great. Really good lineup of podcasting this week for a Merge episode. Holy crap.
Yeah.
We're at the Merge of Survivor Ghost Island, the frickin' Merge.
Yeah, we're 7 hours in, so we're ready to kick off the back half of the season coming up this week. I'll be back live with Stephen Fishback after the episode, so be on the lookout for that. Also, if you have not had a chance to listen to that, we sort of slipped it in there over the weekend, but the 13 archetypes of Survivor Ghost Island with our good friend AJ Mass also went up this weekend, so even some bonus coverage heading into the Merge.
Do you think that AJ knows where the strange tree moss mesh thing comes from? Which world that's from? Good Lord, I love you, AJ, but what? How is he not the narcissist?
Chris Noble?
What world are you living on? I love you, AJ. No shade, but come on. Come on.
You said that Bradley getting voted off screwed him up.
I mean, Bradley would have been a great pick for the narcissist as well. But
yeah.
Sebastian's literally only talking about candy. He's not even talking about himself. He's talking about food.
Look, you take that up with AJ Mass.
All right. Sorry.
Okay. Yes. All right. So lots of great stuff coming up on the podcast. Of course, follow Josh Wigler over on Twitter. He is at Round Howard. I'm at Rob Cisternino. Josh, anything else we should get out there?
No, we've got some Game of Thrones podcasting going on still at post show recaps. That's very fun. Walking Dead is getting close to the end of the season.
Start of Fear the Walking Dead.
Don't be bummed out. Walking Dead fever, it never stops. Fear the Walking Dead. Looking forward to listening. Yeah. Well, sometimes like it seems like you're okay. Like Father Gabriel doing really well. But yeah, so that's happening. Walking Dead podcasts. You and Jessica Lee's killing it over there. You and I are doing the feedback show as well. So lots happening at the post show recaps.
Yeah. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
And the curses that all came before. Clawing my way to the shelter, I lost myself when I crashed on the shore. I lost myself, I'm a ghost on the island. Thank you.
Thank you.